Good to be with you again. I love Christ Fellowship. I love your pastor and Denise. Greg and Denise are very dear to us. My wife couldn't make it this time, but she sends her love. I have to tell you something funny that happened last night. I told her I was missing her, you know, and I said, I'm turning in. Good night. I'm texting her, you know, and I've got it right here. And I said, love you more than ever. And she texted me back and said, she said, I love you too more than fever. She ain't put that fever there. So I said, more than fever? I know I'm pretty hot, but. And she said, so then she goes, so sorry, I hope this is not sermon material. So you're not here to tell me no. Yeah, I love having her around because she always does this when it gets, she does that. But she doesn't think that I see it the first time because I kind of glance over there. And so one time not too long ago, I said, honey, I saw it. But, you know, but I told her, go here and then go like this. And then stand up, go to the back of the sanctuary and go like that. And then I'll get the message. Well, I've got a word for you this morning and I hope it'll be an encouragement to y'all. Happy? Everybody happy today? I want to talk about the enlarged life, and I'm taking this from a passage of Scripture in 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, 9th and 10th verses. It says here, there was a man named Jabez who was more honorable than any of his brothers. His mother named him Jabez because his birth had been so painful. He was the one who prayed to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me and expand my territory. Please be with me in all that I do and keep me from all trouble and pain. And God granted him his request. I love that passage of Scripture. And I think one of the reasons why I love it so much, not only the content of it, but just the fact that it comes out of the most unseeming part of Scripture. There in 1 Chronicles, the 4th chapter, which is really a chapter of genealogy. So-and-so, gave birth to so-and-so, and they gave birth to so-and-so. Well, when I was a kid, I first started reading the Bible, we used, you know, the King James Version, the one that Paul and Peter used, and it had that word begat in it. So-and-so begat. I didn't know who begat was, but I thought, man, this guy is really busy, whoever he is. There's a whole lot of begatting going on. And then so-and-so begat. And then it comes to Jabez. And so emerging out of this genealogy comes this incredible passage of Scripture that puts this otherwise unnotable person right in the scene of history. And so, you know, you probably have heard the prayer of Jabez. You've heard, it was a book written about it. And it's just a great prayer. And it's got those four parts. Lord, bless me, expand my territory, let your hand be upon me or be with me in all that I do. And don't let me cause trouble or pain or trouble or pain happen to me. So here's a guy who out of less than desirable background, evidently. His mother had an excruciating time giving birth to him, and when he was born, she goes, your name's going to be Pain. And so she named him Jabez, which means pain. How would you and I like for, you know, we get, our mother calls us ulcer or names us grief. Can you imagine what it is as a child going through life with that name? But he doesn't let that hold him back. As a matter of fact, it just appears that the others of his brethren who just have these normal names do not arise as much as he does, because out of a difficult situation he rises up and he becomes a powerful person, because it says that everything that he asked God for, God gave it to him. And so it's a prayer. And well, the prayer that I want to focus on is that prayer, expand my territory, which could mean anything to all of us, but it's a prayer for enlargement, it's a prayer for expansion. Lord, increase my influence. Lord, I ask you to enlarge the opportunities that are before me. I just ask you for an open road with open doors and open opportunities and whatever it may be, you know, praying that kind of prayer. I'm so excited about, I think it's next week that you're doing that 24-hour prayer. Dig into that. Get into that. Get 30 minutes or an hour of that time. And let it be, oh, God bless our kids like never before. And spend that time as a church, you know, and as a community of faith, enlarging and expanding, you know. Because we are, I think this is what happens to us. I know this happens to me, maybe not to you, but I'll say this about my church at home, is that we just got to get comfortable where we are, you know. We've got just as many friends as we want. We've got just as much family as we want. We really don't need a whole lot. I've just got everything I want. I don't rock the boat. And not too long ago, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, my granddaughter, my 10-year-old, came and said, "Papa, we've got a movie we want to watch." I always wanted to watch movies with me, and they pulled one out of the archives called Popeye. You know, Robin Williams, one of his best performances, in my humble opinion. God bless him. But so we sat down and we watched Popeye. Did anybody remember seeing that movie, Popeye? Yeah, download that off Netflix. It's got a lot of spiritual connotations to it, and it'll bless you a whole lot. And I really did enjoy this, seeing it again, you know, because it's this town. And this town that's decrepit and dilapidated and about to fall into the ocean. And these people are oblivious to anything else that would even be better. And it's all ruled by Bruto, who is kind of this despicable despot who's in charge of everything. And then Olive Oil, she's kind of bequeathed or betrothed to him. Betrothed. Anyway, his fiance, and she's going to marry him. And you know, it's funny because she can't say too much good about him, except that she remembered the song she sings about. He's large, and that's all Brutus was. He was just large, and it's kind of a musical. And there are the bridesmaids, and they're singing too, and they're singing, "Yeah, but he's ugly." And then she goes, "But he's large, you know, and he has no manners, but he's large." And that's all she can sing is he's large. And then, but I'll tell you what, the thing that just tickles me about this whole thing is the theme song. And I, you know, back when I first saw the movie, I never saw the script. But you know, now with the CC, you can see the caption. I can read it, and I can hear it. Or I can read it. Was the theme song, "Oh, Sweet Haven," and it's just comical to me. God must love us, you know, because they think this is it, man. This is the ultimate. Buildings collapsing, ready to fall into the sea. The swinging. The swinging bridge that Wimpy falls through every time he tries to get on it. The tax guy on the bicycle that rides around taxing everybody. That's a question tax. That's asking a question tax. And that's breathing too much air tax, you know. But they're all singing, "God must love us, you know, oh, sweet haven." And then, of course, Popeye the Sailor Man comes along. And he says, "I am what I am, what I am." And it just upsets everybody's apple cart. And then things begin to change because the people actually get a vision for what really could be, maybe what's out there, maybe what's beyond what they've ever known before. And I am so glad for the day that when I was singing, "Oh, Sweet Haven," I'm glad for the days, even today, when Jesus, you know, the Savior man, comes onto the scene, the great I am. And he instills a vision for what can be. See, I've got a little bit of a problem moving in me today. You live out of problems and crisis. And that is that the church, believers, I'm just talking to believers right now. Believers in America do not realize what we could really do and how much we could make a difference if we would pray this kind of prayer and ask God, expand our territory. Oh, Lord, explode us. Let us really see what we have never seen before. And I'm not just talking about material. I'm talking about physically and spiritually and every other way. God, expand my ability to embrace one more soul. Sometimes we've got everything and everybody we need, but God wants to break us out. You know, I've got a little problem. I've got to admit to you, I've got a little problem when we stand up and beg people to be a part of the children's ministry. I mean, we ought to be dying to get in there to minister to 150 kids. They ought to fill the roster today. And I know you guys are going to do it, but I'm just hoping that, I'm talking about my church, okay, back home. I want them to hear this because, and sometimes it's my pride. I want everybody to feel like, you know, we've got it together. So they said, Pastor, we want to recruit in the service. No, we don't need to recruit in the service. If you recruit in the service, then the newcomers who are coming in will think that we don't have it all together. Well, let me just tell you, if you're new, the first time here at Christ Fellowship, these folks don't have it all together. And they need you to plug in and to really make a difference. Can I hear an amen? It's church, and I know we don't do a whole lot of amens, but can you just say amen to that one? That's wonderful. That's good. So let me just move on. And I want to talk about some ways that we can expand our reach in life. Just three very basic things. First of all, just ask God for more. Believe that God wants to bless you. Believe that God wants to do that. He wants in His power to give you more. Ephesians, the third chapter, 20th verse. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to Him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. A couple of years ago, that was our theme. Dare to ask. God is able more than you can imagine. And then look at John 16. Until now, Jesus said, you've asked nothing in my name. But if you want to glorify the Father, if you want to glorify me, if you want to make me happy, and you want to be joyful, and you want to be filled and full of joy, ask, ask, and you will receive. James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. So my question is just a simple one. Why not ask God for more? Why not just take that? Well, I don't want to pray a selfish prayer. Well, just get the selfishness out of the way and just repent of that and just say, God, I want more. Not more for me. Here's the motive. It's for the kingdom's sake. I want more. I'm hungry for more today. I want to be expanded. I want more, 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 more than I've ever had before because I want to make God look good. And I want God to look successful. And I want this nation, I want our communities to be touched more, more, more. Whatever it is, you may be a broker, a teacher, a student, homemaker, realtor, business owner, whatever. More, more, more. Why not ask for more? So ask God for more. And the second thing is that when we ask God for more, we need to move beyond limitations. Allow God to release us from disabling ideas or disabling mindsets. Disabling mindsets. Think of that. Mindsets that keep us where we are. You know, sometimes others keep us where we are. That's the first one. We're held back by other people. See, Jabez could not help that his mother named him Jabez, but he decided he was going to make a difference. Even though he had this moniker, this appellation that had been attached to him, he said, no, this is not going to be me. Don't let other people define your future. Don't let other people define your destiny. God is the one who defines your destiny. And you know, really and truly, you cannot help what people say about you. You cannot keep people from talking about you, but you can keep the talk from getting to you. And you can move beyond what others say. I remember one time when I was in middle school, kid came up to me. And you know, if people say things to you, it really helps define you, especially in formative years. When these kids are little, like the ones that we saw out here a few minutes ago, when he came up to me and said, did you know that you have one ear lower than the other? And I just stood there. I was dumbfounded. I had no idea that I had that particular deformity about me. And I stood there, and I was not quick on my feet. I wanted to insult. I couldn't think of a good insult for him. He looked pretty good to me. And I'm just like, you know, well, your nose is in the middle of your face or whatever, you know. I couldn't. I said, oh, wow, didn't know that. So I went to the bathroom. I'll never forget. Went to the bathroom there, middle school, sixth grade, seventh grade, something like that. I'm looking in the mirror, and I'm looking at my ears. I said, Lord God, I never knew this. What's going on? And I finally decided maybe, I can't remember which one it was. I know you're trying to find out too right now. But all of this kid probably heard his father or mother say something like, all people are not really symmetrical entirely. And so we're not completely perfect on both sides. And so he just walked up and told me that. But I'd walk around, you know, like this, holding my ear so that people wouldn't notice it. Sit in the back of the class. This is no joke. So that people would not see my lopsided ears. Not realizing some of the most successful people on the face of the earth have lopsided features, and none of us have perfect features, but because of something that's been spoken to us. And that's a trivial thing, but there are people who have had things spoken to them and about them, and they still live in that limitation because they've allowed someone else to define who they are. I was talking to a guy one time, and he told me, he said, I'm really struggling. Spent his entire career in the Navy drinking. Every time he would get accelerated in rank, he'd get busted again. After 20-something years, he's an E7, he retired. I said, man, what's going on? Because he drank all the time. What happened? He said, well, I was in school, you know, and the professor that I appreciated and admired the most said to me one day, called me by my last name and said, you will never amount to anything. And if anybody has ever had that kind of word spoken over you, I want to take this time and I want to take this moment to just reverse the curse and rebuke those words, and may they be erased amazingly and powerfully and supernaturally from your mind from this time forward. Because it is God who defines who you are. And it is God who defines your future. And then circumstances. That's the second thing that limits us. Our circumstances. Well, you don't understand. I was born this way. I was born into that family. I was born here. I don't have this. I don't have that. And so many times that happens to us. But watch this in Philippians, the first chapter. He says, this is the Apostle Paul saying about a circumstance he had been. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it's become evident to the whole palace guard. And let me just back off. Somebody just not too long ago went to Rome, and they saw the prison where Paul was in prison, not too far from the Colosseum. Man, it's like a big hole in the ground. It's terrible, horrible circumstances, horrible food. Very seldom the light of the day. This guy is writing a letter, maybe by candlelight, in that dark, dank prison. And he's saying to them, it has become evident to all of the palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident in my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. And then in Philippians, the fourth chapter, the same book, he says, now I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Paul says, not only am I moving beyond limitations set by my circumstances, because you cannot bind the heart and the man of somebody who is in contact with God. But not only that, not only is it a blessing to me, it's a blessing to others too. Other people are encouraged. You realize that there are people that are watching you. These young people that were here earlier, those kids are watching us. That's why when they come out and perform like that, I put on the grin from ear to ear for them, because I want to encourage them, because I want them to stay with it. And somebody in the children's ministry not too long ago, a couple of services ago, I was talking to him, and he said, you know, what we're teaching them is we're teaching them how to lead worship and do things there so that when they move up to the youth, they will be able and prepared, and it'll be a part of them, and they will be a part of it. And then when they become adults, see, that's legacy. And legacy says that if I will pray for expansion, expansion is not all about me, what I can get, what I have, what I can garner to myself. Expansion is so that I'll be able to give more, so that I'll be able to lavish and be a radical giver. Shouldn't have to beg people to give. Shouldn't have to be reminded of, well, the Bible tells us this. I mean, we ought to be radical, radical givers, breaking out of our circumstances. And here's the biggest limiter, number three here, is me. I am my biggest limiter. Fear of rejection. Fear of disappointment. Well, I asked the Lord once, it didn't happen. Fear of being told no. That's the worst thing that could happen. God says no. Fear, fear, fear. Fear of what others might say. Dare to ask. Why not ask? Why not break beyond the limitations, personal limitations? You look at this, Gideon. I love that story about Gideon, you know, there in the Judges. And God finds him hiding in a cave, and he says, "You mighty man of valor." And Gideon goes, "Who, me?" And God says, "Yeah, I'll come. You're going to lead the army." There's 12,000 men who gather from all over Israel to go against the Midianites. They're being captivated by this huge nation. He says, 12,000, God, is not enough. They've got about 50,000. God says, "No, that's actually, you have too many." It keeps narrowing it down to where he's got 300 men, and he wins the victory with 300. You see, God is into doing big things with little stuff rather than doing taking big stuff and doing little things with it. He can take just something small and make it big if you and I are willing to say, "Lord, expand my territory. I am tired of these results. I want to see, I want to make a difference for your kingdom's sake." See, let's take a look at our math, because our math does not match God's math. Here's our math. My math is this: my abilities, my experience, my training, my personality, my parents. You gotta have that. You gotta have that right parents, you know. Lady came up to me at last service and said, "Are you well?" And I said, "Yes. Do I not look well?" She said, "Well, you look like you have lost so much weight." I grabbed her and kissed her right in the mouth. It made me feel so. No, I really didn't do that, Delia. I did not do that. But I have to tell you, it made me feel good. I said, "Yeah, I've been sick. I'm just sick of being fat." And so we worry about that, don't we? My past. What's my pedigree? Where did I come from? My personality. You understand? I don't have one of those personalities. That's okay. God can use you, whatever your personality is. My training, my experience. My education, I don't have the degree. I don't have the degree. Well, but if you add all of that together, you end up, even with that, with my boxed in, limited territory. And we all have that boxed in, limited territory. Here's where I am. Here's where I move. I don't go outside the boundaries. Another one of my greatest films, kind of a musical. It's been on Broadway before. And they did a kind of a musical of it a few years ago. Fiddler on the Roof, remember that? Tavier is singing. He is the Russian Jew who is put in these precarious predicaments where he is forced to think outside and accept the fact that change is taking place. And he stays within his box and his rigid tradition. and it disables him, but he's got, and the fiddler on the roof represents the person playing the music, and so he's down there singing to the music. If I were a rich man, remember that? Da 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 da. He did it much better than I do. But he was just captivated by his. And we all have this fiddler on the roof that tells us, no, you will never go beyond where you are. And so that's my math. But look at God's math. God's math is this. And I'm not kidding about this. My weaknesses, my willingness and my ability to just simply go to God and say, I can't do this. Lord, I can't do this. I can't do what I'm doing this morning. I can't. So I always tell God. I found out it's your key is to tell God the ball's in your court because I can't do this. My weakness and willingness is God, plus God's will and his supernatural power is my ever-expanding territory. Somebody needs to see that today because you may be caught in a situation where you do not see any way out. And it's not going to be your prowess, your ability, your finesse, your ability, your talent, your way to scheme this. It's going to be your weaknesses and coming to him and saying to him, God, I just rely on your power. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Let me wrap this up this morning. The third thing that I want you to see is just this. Leave the results to God. Leave the results to God. Your life, it really is God's problem, not your problem. It's God's problem. When you take your life and you put it, then it becomes his problem. I know that we have our responsibilities and we need to be obedient and we need to be willing, but really the outcome is his responsibility. Look at this from Ephesians, the second chapter. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But I love this because it comes from the Amplified. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared. See that? Paths that he prepared. That's what predestination is. He has prepared paths for us ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. And may I just say this today, that just as my grandmother taught me, that when you pull a tomato, when you go to pick the tomatoes, you go to the red ripe ones and you just tug it. And if you tug on that tomato and it falls in your hand, then you know that it's ripe and it's ready. If it's green, you can just pull on it, mess up the vines and everything else. In the same way, God goes before us and he ripens the fruit so that we can pluck the fruit, if you please. Your life is God's responsibility. It's his problem. And when you say, Lord, expand my territory, since he has already prepared this for us, he knows what that's going to look like, and then he makes available for us those things that are ahead. I am grateful, grateful, grateful that it's not by my power nor by my strength, says the Lord, but it's by my spirit. And when he says that to us, we realize that the outcome is not going to be dependent upon us. The outcome, the results, are his. Amen? Amen? Let's just bow our heads for a moment in prayer. God, I'm so grateful and so thankful today that you have called us to be involved in your enterprise. What an incredible thing. And then you give to us a mandate, like you have given to every individual here, like you've given to this church. You've given a mandate, you've given a vision. You not only do that, but you also, because you are the Lord, you are also God. Then you come to us and say, ask me for the things that are necessary in order to fulfill that mandate. And so today we do so. And I thank you that you've already stepped out ahead. I thank you that you already know where each one of us will be a year from now, a month from now, a week from now. You know that in advance. But God, I don't want to walk through this life and not fulfill that which you subscribed for me from the very beginning. I want to do it all. I want to be all, like the vision of this church. I want to be all that you called me to be. And I pray this prayer right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.